urge people to do better, which is okay. It has its own value. We should really do better, but that's not what the Bible is teaching. It's totally different from what the Bible is teaching us. Any religious group will ask you to do better. Do you know anyone that doesn't ask you to do better? So what are we really offering different from what other people are offering? If that is all we tell people. So if we tell people to do better, it has its own value. It's not bad. It's not really bad. We should do that. But that's not the core teaching of Christianity. And so in Romans chapter 7, verse 6, we see what the Spirit of God is telling the church. And the Bible says we should listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. He's saying in Romans 7, 6, but now we have been released from the law, for we died to it and are no longer captive to its power. Now we can serve God. Now we can serve God. Not in the old way of obeying what? The letter of the law. But now in the new way of living in the Spirit. And if we're really interested in serving God, shouldn't we want to understand how to serve God that God is telling us? He said it's not in the old way of obeying the letters of the law, which is what the church generally teaches. And like I say, it has its own value, but it's limited. But the Spirit of God is saying, no, you don't serve God that way anymore. You serve God in a new way. In a new way. Everybody say a new way. It says it is by way of living in the what? In the Spirit. And another place he said, if you want to deal with the lust of the flesh, he says it is by living in the Spirit, through the Spirit you deal with it. So we should be really interested in this new way. If we really want to please God, we should want to find out what is God saying. And God tells us things that we should easily understand if we want to. Now, if you look at the life of Paul, you will find that there was a turning point in his life. There was a point when he turned the corner. And from that point, Paul wasn't the same again. When he discovered how to serve God, he threw away the old one. When he found out how to serve God, he opened the window and what? Threw away the old one. It became a turning point in his life. A turning point in his relationship with God, in his relationship with Jesus. And this will affect everything about you. Your prayer, your daily life, your communion with the Holy Spirit. This is key to it. Very key to it. So, when Paul found out what this is that he's writing to the Romans, when he discovered this as God revealed it to him, that is the revelation of spiritual truths. Revelation of spiritual what? Truths of what God did in Christ Jesus in his life. God was showing him what I have done in your life when Jesus came and died, buried, resurrected. I did something in your life. God began to reveal it to him, and he called it the wisdom of God. And the Bible says Christ is the wisdom of God. The Bible says the gospel is the wisdom of God, the power of God. So, and because this wisdom is from God, it does not come from human knowledge. It does not come from human understanding. It does not come from human articulation. Because it is the wisdom, it's the plan that God articulated himself and executed. It's not something any human being would have thought about. So the scripture says what God has prepared for those that love him, that the heart of man doesn't even articulate it. So when God began to reveal to Paul this wisdom, this new way, Paul threw away everything he used to do. And he said, I used to think that those things have value until I discovered this new way of serving God. And that's, look at Philippians chapter 3 from verse 1. Philippians chapter 3 from verse 1. Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. Can we agree on this one? Whatever happens to you, do what? Whether you lost the election or not, rejoice in the Lord. That's what he says. I didn't write it. And some part of what we're talking about, when people have low fellowship with the Holy Spirit, things like this take them aback. They don't know what God is. They don't understand anything. They just follow main street talk, street talks, corner talks, TV talk, radio talk. You don't follow the Holy Spirit talk. When you follow the Holy Spirit talk, he will show you things, great and mighty things that you what? You don't understand. He will show you secrets of life. It's low fellowship with the Holy Spirit that brings all these things about. That what shouldn't confuse you will confuse you. Things you should have known ahead of time and understood how these things are. I mean, know where it's going. So when the kid, everybody is confused, you are confused. If they are not eating, you are not eating. So what's the difference? What's the difference? Sometimes I think I say only God can be patient with Christians. I cannot be. Only God can be patient with us. Honestly speaking. I was telling somebody, I said, do you know? Okay, Lord, I'm good. So, whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things. I never get tired of telling you these things. And I do it to safeguard your faith, to protect your faith. Then continue verse 3. Just keep going. Verse 3. Okay, I'll read from here. For we who worship... Now listen what Paul discovered. And see if you have discovered that too. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly what? Circumcised. He's talking about what God did. Truly circumcised. Truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort. This summarizes what Paul discovered. He said, wait a minute. Wow. He said, we have been really circumcised. He said, those who worship in the Spirit discover this truth. And when we rely on those things that God has done for us in Christ Jesus, and not what man can do and what man does, in verse 4, it says, though I could have confidence in my own effort, if any could, indeed, comma, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. Then he began to give his resume. His resume, very impressive. In verse 5, I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. He's talking about the law of Moses, the system of that law, the Old Testament system. He said, when you talk of this, man, I was superb. Because those things were prescribed by the law. He said, I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I'm a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew, if ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees. It doesn't get any better when it comes to the law. Then he continued, who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish world? Anything wrong with that? But that's what the church is teaching today. He said, I was, remember, he said, was pastors. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted what? Now, have you gone to some churches? You can't enter unless you tie your hair. If you don't cover your hair, you're not entering the church. And they think they're spiritual. They're all backsliding. They stay at the door. They won't let you come into the house of God that Jesus said anybody can come as they are. But they won't let you come. Because you didn't cover your head. And you're wearing earring. Pharisees of 2016. They're everywhere. The Bible talks of those who glory in appearance and not in purity of the heart. So Paul said, I was like that. Persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, boy, I obey the law without fault. Have you got to this level? That's where he was. That's his resume. He said, look, if anybody has anything to boast, let me show you all I did. I did all of this. 10 commandments, I obeyed it without fault. Anybody that gone there yet? That's how to serve God before. That's what God, the Holy Spirit is writing to the church. He said, don't try this thing, my friend, I did it before. Why is this route not useful? Huh? Because he, at this point, was dead in sin and trespasses. So that obeying the law fully couldn't give him access to God. Because he's a fallen man. In Adam, all die. Whether you obey the law or not, you are dead, condemned. The next verse. I once thought these things were valuable. Really? Paul, are you serious? They are not valuable. He said, I once thought these things were what? Valuable. But now I consider them what? Worthless. I want the church to wake up. Because that's why we have low communion with the Holy Spirit, low fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That's why you see people trooping all over the place. If they hear there's one man of God coming, so they will go early in the morning, line up there. Lay hands on me. It's because we haven't understood how to relate with God. When you understand how to relate with God, you don't need any man of God. God will tell you things in your bedroom. Discuss things while you're driving. And Jesus will be real. Can I hear amen? He said, I thought these things were available, but now I consider them worthless. Because of what? He said, I found something more valuable than all these things. Remember, he said, we that worship in the Spirit are those who depend on what Christ has done. He said, I found out that this is not the way to serve God at all. The way to serve God is to depend on what Christ has done. The moment I realized that, I opened the door and threw away this thing I thought was valuable before. That's what the Holy Spirit is telling the church. There's a difference between the New Testament and the time of Moses is totally different. But people don't get the revelation. They don't get it. And they're trying to serve God as Moses, struggling, and nothing is happening. Prayers not answered. A lot of struggle. A lot of struggle. So much struggle. Bewilderment in life. Hoping one day one man of God with anointing will do something. It's a sorry situation. And God warned us, don't try that well. It won't work. But we're stuck with it. Paul said, I once thought that was useful, but it's worthless. When something is worthless, it means it has no value. He said, that is totally worthless. Threw it away. The next verse. Yes, everything else is now what? Worthless. When compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Shouldn't the church have discovered the value of knowing Christ and teach people to know Jesus? Shouldn't that be our focus? Shouldn't that be, if this man is saying this thing is not what is worthless, what I find is now useful is what Christ has done, and then the knowledge of Christ is, there's nothing that compares with that. Shouldn't every pulpit be focusing on it? I'm asking you. Is that what the church is focusing? Go to all your fellowships and tell me why they focus on it. It's all this law. Because even people who teach and lead are ignorant of this thing. So what do? They bring the law of Moses and line it up. It looks religious. My people say that an elder who doesn't know what to say will say, others have said what I wanted to say. Are you following my point? I've been hitting on this for a long time, because many of you don't even know what I'm talking about. Just looking at me, but you don't get it. But I want you to get it. Because if you get it, your life will take a turn for the better. Praise the Lord. You know, they say old habits die hard. Let's continue. The next verse there. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake now, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as what? Garbage. So that I could now gain, so that I can have a relationship with Jesus. I have fellowship with him. He's my focus now. I want to gain him. It's like I'm pursuing a lover. I want to win fellowship with him. Christ is now my focus. And he writing some other place, he said, Jesus is my life. He's my all in all. He's my completeness. I don't care for anything else except this Christ Jesus. He said, I don't want to be found in anything except him. The next verse, please. We're going to read up to verse 11. And become one with him. I no longer count, number one, on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I became righteous through faith in Christ. You see, he discovered that the righteousness that works is not the one that comes from the law. That's what I'm saying. There's a turning point in his life where God opened his eyes to say, wow, wow, this is the way to God. So I've been trying to do this. It's not getting me anywhere. So he said, I found out that if you want God to count you righteous, it has to be only because of your faith in who? Jesus Christ. Is it not what God revealed to Abraham? Are you surprised that Abraham had incredible relationship with God? I want you to go and check the Bible and find that the people who lived before Moses, before the law came, Abraham, Enoch, all those people had incredible relationship with God, because God revealed to them that you don't come to me through the law. So he didn't give them the law. He walked with Abraham without 10 commandments. And Abraham discovered that faith in God will be counted as what? Righteousness. God revealed it to him. The same way God revealed to him about tithing. Nobody taught Abraham about tithing. God revealed it to him. And he got a lot of stuff. He was going home. He saw the priest of God. He gave tithe. Before that, we never saw a record of that. And God revealed to Moses about grace that trumps the law. Because Moses said to God, show me your grace. Let me see your grace. Reveal your grace to me. And God said, okay, you're going to see my back, but not my face. I'm going to show you what I show people, that it's my grace. I will show mercy upon whom? Show mercy. So I will show mercy to you. And Moses had incredible relationship with I'm telling you, Mark, God used those people to show us samples of what would be available in Christ for everybody. Even though Jesus hadn't come, but God has prerogative of mercy. He said, I will show mercy to him, I will show mercy. So he was showing them, if you want relationship with me, it's got to be based on my mercy. It's got to be based on my grace. Because you have all fallen. All of you are fallen. So all of them that he taught his grace were the people who walked in faith. Enoch pleased God. Upon what 10 commandments did Enoch please God? It was simply Enoch walked in faith. He believed God. The same thing that brought righteousness to him is what Paul discovered, that when you believe in God, when you believe in what God said, when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is counted for you for what? So he said, I prefer that righteousness because that's what makes me come before God and be counted righteous. Praise the Lord. Then the next verse. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. If you read this letter to the Corinthians, he was talking about this power that God will open our eyes of understanding so that we know the hope of calling, and also to know this power that worked in us, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. He said, I want to know the mightiness of this power that is working in my life that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, so that if he brings me suffering, I will endure that, sharing in his death. Why? So that one way or another, I will experience the what? Resurrection from the dead. You know what he's talking about? is we are crucified with Christ. We have been raised in newness of what? Life. He said, I want to experience that new life, that resurrection, that when I come to Christ, I die and I resurrect in a new body that is now not the old Adam, but the new Adam. Can somebody say amen? Now, another scripture that showed the turning point in Paul's life when he began to understand this is 2 Corinthians 5:13. We are reading 13 to 16. If it seems we are crazy, because he said, Paul was saying, it looks like this thing I'm saying, that it looks like I'm what? Crazy. Because it doesn't make sense. Well, but if it seems like we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And if we are in our right minds, if you think what we are saying is correct, it is also for your own benefit. So you think we are crazy because we are teaching you these things. We are teaching it because that's what brings glory to God. But if you think it's correct, it's also what benefits you. Because some people think we are crazy. They really think we're crazy because they don't understand what we're talking about. Then verse 14. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Now, see the revelation this man had that transformed his life. He says, since we believe that Christ died for all, do we all believe that? See, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. That this is how God dealt with sin, was that he took the old life and destroyed it. So we died to it. We're not what we used to be. You see how he said, we depend on what Christ has done. And one of the things he found out is that my old nature is what? Gone. He said, since we believe that Christ died for all, because he died, we too have died. He said, we also believe that we have a new nature, that the old sinful life has been crucified. Somebody say amen. Okay? Either way, Christ's love controls us, since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. Verse 15. He died for everyone, so that those who receive his new life. You see how we're supposed to live? Those who receive what? His new life will no longer live for themselves. So that the way is through what he did, in that the old life has been killed, so that we have a new life now. And because we have this new life now, those who have received it will no longer live what? For themselves. So how do they live? Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. Talking about what Jesus did is what changes your life. Because that old life, that sinful nature, God took it as he was obeying the law. He still had it. But he realized that in Christ Jesus, God did something. Are you following what I'm saying? If you are following me, say amen. He realized that God did something. That God took that old Adamic nature and destroyed it. That he, once he comes to Christ, that God gave him a new life. And that new life is not selfish. It's not selfish. It's a life that is selfless. Talk of the love of God. It's a life that lives the love of God. It's the life that is the life of God, which is love. He said, because of this new life now, we are not living for ourselves. You don't live for your pleasure. You don't live for the things that gives you pleasure. You live for the things that give Jesus pleasure. Amen. I said amen. You see this point I'm making? That's why many people get thrown off. They get thrown off. Totally get thrown off. But the Lord will help us to understand it. Verse 15. He died for everyone so that those who received his new life, will no longer live for themselves. So the reason that you are able to live a life that is selfless is because of the new life that Jesus gave you. He said, Pastor, but it doesn't look like I'm living a new life. It's because you don't believe it, period. There's no long story about it. You don't even understand it, so how can you experience it? So verse 16, the same 2 Corinthians 5, 16. So we have stopped evaluating others. You see where he used to live like the Pharisee, even though he was a Christian. So we have now stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. We didn't get the spiritual revelation about Jesus. We saw him that he came and died here. That's what a lot of Christmas now, we are going to eat chicken. I hear that during Christmas, I don't know how many millions of turkeys die in America. Thanksgiving, 25th of November. I don't know how many millions of turkeys die. And then Christmas, another millions of turkeys will die. And we see Jesus as mere person that just came. The story of Jesus is like we are talking about another human being that came here, that Christians talk about. We haven't gotten the revelation, the spiritual implication of who Jesus is and why he came and the relevance of his coming to your life personally. 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 That's what I'm talking about. I've been on this thing for a long time. We haven't gotten the revelation, the things that happened in the spiritual realm that are relevant to me and relevant to you. And it is because of those things that your life has what? Changed. But because we don't see it physically, we get thrown off. That's why the Bible says you live in the spirit. This is spiritual reality. This is spiritual truth. This is not carnal things. This is not natural things we are talking about. Praise the Lord. So, verse 16, I still want it. So, we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from human point of view. How differently we know him now. You see his turning point? When he turned the corner, when he began to have a revelation of who Jesus is and what Christ did for him. He said, now the verse 17. This means then that anyone who belongs to Christ has become what? The old life is gone. And the new life? He said, we have stopped evaluating ourselves from human point of view, from what we see physically as we are. He said, now we have started to see that in Christ something happened. That it means now that if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. That old life has gone. Old, can we say that my old life has gone? Say it louder. My old life has gone. Say it louder. My old life has gone. It's gone. It's not there. Paul said that's the reason you cannot live a life that is selfless, a life that is loving, like God loves. Say, because of this new life you have. Then the scripture says, who has believed our what? Report. And then you've got to remember that this thing we're sharing is the thing that only the Holy Spirit can reveal to you. Only the Holy Spirit can reveal it to you. I can't reveal it to you. And no human being can reveal it to you. It's not possible for a man to reveal this truth to you. Only the Spirit of God can open your eyes and open your mind and show you what this thing means and how it relates to you. Look at 1 Corinthians 2, 6. These are scriptures that we know. I'm going to read from verse 6. Yet when we are among the full-grown, spiritually mature Christians, who are ripe in understanding, we do impart a higher wisdom. This is amplified, I think. No, you can go. Let me, I don't want to expand amplify. Go to NLT, the way you are. Yet when I'm among mature believers, when I'm among what? Mature believers, people who understand these things. I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world or to the rulers of this world who are soon forgotten. Verse 7. No, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery. It's a mystery. Church, it is what? A mystery. It needs to be unraveled to you. It will affect your prayer. It will affect everything you do. It's a mystery. It's not biology. It's not philosophy. He says it's not what the wisdom of this world teaches. It's not what you learn in your theological colleges. What they call them? Theologians will help you not to know Christ. They will help you so much not to know the truth. So you better run for your dear life. This is not what is articulated in any field of study by human beings. That's what Paul is saying. It's not what human beings... This is a mystery from the mind of God. Plan that God made that no human being can understand. Even angels were looking at this thing. The Bible said even the prophets who spoke about this thing before, they too were looking at this and wondering, wow, what is this? No, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God. His plan that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. Continue. We're going to read to verse 15. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. The authorities don't know it. The big guys don't know it. The rulers, the what do you call them? The intellectuals of this world. They haven't understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord, verse 9. That is what the scripture means. Scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, and no mind has imagined. This thing that we're teaching and talking that God revealed to Paul, he said, no eye has seen it, no ear has heard it, and no mind has imagined it, what God has prepared for those who love him, what we're enjoying today. The next verse. That is, but it was, verse 10, but it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. It was to us. You see the turning point in his life? When God began to reveal these things to him, it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secret. Christ is God's deep secret. He said we used to evaluate him like a man. He said we are no more doing that. We found that it's something deeper than what you see. The next verse. No one can know a person's thoughts except the person's own spirit, and no one can know God's thoughts except God's spirit. Verse 12. And we have received God's spirit, not the world's what? Spirit. You know the world's spirit? It's reasoning. Human what? Figuring it out. I mean, in America, they say we figure it out. They couldn't figure out what happened 6 days ago. But they figure it out. We figure out everything. We figure it out. No, up to now, nobody has figured out some things yet. That's what they call the spirit of the world. The spirit of the world is using your intellect, figuring it out. Brethren, can I beg you, if you want to understand these things, you must switch off your intellect. If you don't, it will confuse you. Because it doesn't come from human understanding, from figuring it out, wanting to. You don't even know. Where do you start to begin to figure it out? So we don't have this world spirit. So we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. Verse 13. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using Spirit's words to explain what? Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in this spiritual truth. They are not carnal truths. They are not normal truths. They are not regular truths. This is a mystery. Christ is a mystery being revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. It's a mystery. And he said the word that he used to explain it is not even carnal knowledge or carnal. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words. In other words, there is nothing a man has to use to illustrate it. Nothing. There is nothing. Because if man has something to illustrate it, then man could have thought about it. But something that has never entered the heart of man, how can man have an illustration? That's what he's saying. There is nothing you have in this world to illustrate the new man. That you are born again. There's nothing you have to illustrate it. There is no illustration. Actually, the Lord told me before I started to teach you, he said, don't try to illustrate this. He said, teach it the way it is. Leave it alone. He said, that's why Paul said, when I taught it, I was like a fool. He said, I was among you in fear and what? Trembling, because I wasn't sure whether people could grab this thing that I was teaching you. He said, but I didn't teach it with a man's... No. Enticing word of man's wisdom. He said, I don't want to make the cross of no effect. So I wasn't trying to illustrate it because there's nothing in this world to use to illustrate. I just told you what God told me and I stayed away. He said, but if you watch now, you will see what the Holy Spirit has done in your lives, how he has brought you revelation and your lives are beginning to what? Change. He said, so your faith will not be on the wisdom of man, but your faith will be in the power of God, which is Christ. That's why I said I preach Christ crucified. I don't talk any other thing. What's the next verse there? Are you following me at all? Is anybody left behind? If you are sleeping, say amen. For people who aren't spiritual can't receive this truth from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolishness. Sounds foolish to them. And they can't understand it. For all those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. You have to begin to switch your mind from thinking carnally like a human being to really thinking towards God, revealing this thing that is not from man. You have to be open to it. You have to really know that it's only God that can show me this thing. And you begin to desire to know it, and God begins to open your eyes and show you this knowledge that passes human understand. Let's continue. Now, Paul, knowing this fact, began to pray for the church. I said it once here. That's the most important prayer you can pray for yourself. If you want to make progress as a Christian, don't neglect this prayer. You neglect it at your own peril. If you want to make progress, if you want to have a deep fellowship with the Holy Spirit, you must pray this prayer all the time. All the time. Because these are things that you keep. The revelation of Christ is not one time. It's a continuous what? Process. It's a mystery. It's the knowledge of Jesus is too much. You can't know Jesus all. It's something. The more you know him, the more you are behaving like him. That's a mystery nobody can explain. The more you know him, the more you are behaving like him. It's a simple thing. It's not by law. It's not by law. No. The more you know him, the more the Spirit of God is working in your life and changing you like him. That's why the Bible says, he who does not love does not know God. Because he says, if you really know him, you love. So that the way to change our life is not by trying to be better. It's to seek to know him. Because the more you know him, the more your life is transformed to behave like him. It's a mystery. But that's the way it works. And not just to behave like him in terms of, morals and things. No. To also behave like him in terms of his faith. You begin to exercise the same type of faith he was exercising. The same authority he was exercising. That's like being like Jesus. It's not just this, trying to be, I don't know how to describe it, but then you are defeated in every area of your life. That's not like being like Jesus. That's like being like somebody I don't know. If you really want to be like Jesus, you live in the whole spectrum of who he is. You live his authority. You live his faith. You live his glory. You speak like him. You have his boldness. You say, I'm like Jesus. You are not. You are like Jesus when you speak with power. You are like Jesus when you confront the devil. I say in the name of Jesus, get out of here. And they run. Then you are acting like Jesus. You are like Jesus when you lay hands on the sick and you are like Jesus. This being like Jesus is not just a question of, trying to behave like, managing your character. Call it being like Jesus. No. You are like Jesus when you walk like he walked. Talk like he talked. Exercise authority like he did. Exercise faith like he did. Faith in his Father. Walking in the light. Walking in the glory. In the full glory of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. That the devils will say you and say, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. I know this man. I know this man. I know him and Jesus. They are the same thing. I know Paul. I know Jesus. They are the same thing. I can't tell them apart. And then they saw disciples in Corinth. They said, these people have been with Jesus. They are Christians. They are like him. They talk like him. They behave like him. They looked at them. They said, but they are ignorant people. But one thing we found out is, wow, they are behaving like this Jesus. That's what it is. That's what it is. That's what sanctification should be. To renew your mind so that you begin to live like Jesus lived. Philip went to Samaria. See, Philip was not a pastor. Philip was not, was just a regular guy like me. He went to Samaria. The entire city turned upside down because one man showed up. How about you going home and everything, everywhere turns upside down because you entered their compound? But instead of that, you enter your compound, you start say, we need to do deliverance here. They bury things here. My grandfather buried something. Get people to come and help us. You're not living like Jesus. You're a Pharisee. I can't even imagine Jesus entering somewhere and saying, Peter, they buried something. Let's do something. What? You live like Jesus. You enter there, whatever they bury, everything scattered. You don't have to see anything because there's a presence you bring in. There's a glory that rise you bring in. There's a power that worketh in you. Paul said, I want to know the extent of this power. That's what you brought into that compound. And everybody rose. You don't have to know anything. Simply because you showed up. The devils will say, we know Jesus and we know this man. Pack your things and leave. There's trouble here. Praise the Lord. Huh? I said, praise the Lord. That's what it is. That's what it is. That your life will need an explanation. You do things nobody can understand because the Bible said the spiritual man, nobody understands him. Because he's walking in fellowship with Jesus. So he does things beyond human understanding. Even if it touches your pocket, the way you give offering is not regular. If your offering is regular, you're not spiritual, really. I'm not kidding you. Because if you really walk with Jesus, you do things that is out of your mind. You're coming to church, he tells you, say, this one you're going to, they're going to do so in church. Bring your check. Say, Lord, yeah. He say, yeah, I bring it. It's not walking with Jesus. You come in, ushers bring something, you bring, and you take it. Then you put the $10 in and carefully select $1 and say, I'm walking like Jesus. Go and sit down. When he gave his entire life up. Paul said, my life, I poured it out as a drink off. Paul gave everything, his life, everything to Jesus. Held nothing back. Go and read the life of these people that follow Jesus. People went and sold their land, brought it to church so that others will eat. Are they not Christians like us? You say you follow Jesus. Is it the same spirit? Read it now in your Bible. They sold land. They sold. They brought it. Where did they trust to live for tomorrow? That's faith in God. The same way Jesus trusted his Father to provide. they lived every day trusting in God. If the Spirit said, bring that in so that others will eat food, they didn't hesitate. The same thing Abraham did. Kill your son, the man put the man down. And took knife to, and God said, stop. Now I know you love me. You say you love God, and then you come and be searching for $1 to give him. $1 love doesn't work for God. Everyone is quiet. I think I'm in your backyard today. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I have my sister here. She was here. And we're talking of trumpet. God told her, I said, you bite. He said, I don't have money. He said, you bite. Go and bite. That's what I'm telling you about now. Say, bite. We say, Lord, whoa. He said, yeah, you bite. And she did. And God did. This is story. The rest is history. When you want to walk like Jesus walked, you give your all to God. You can't hold back anything. Love holds back nothing. The least is money. Don't forget that people gave their lives. People died for this thing. Missionaries died in Africa for this thing. Rich people went to Africa, they died somewhere sick. They came back again. They killed them. Their son came back. They killed his father, and the son came and took his place. Is it not the same Christianity? Really? Jesus said, my father loves me because I laid down my what? My life. You can't lay down $1. And he's singing, I love you, Lord. You raise your hand, I love you, really? Love without sacrifice is not real. Love without sacrifice is what? It's not real. It's not real. There's no love without sacrifice. When you love somebody, you don't even know, nothing is sacrifice because you love the person. I don't know where I'm going here. So Paul was praying for the church. This prayer, Ephesians 1:18. I pray that God would open your minds to see this truth. I pray that this one is ERV. That is easy to read version. Do you have easy to read version? You don't have it? You are Gentiles in there. All of you, you are Pharisees, all of you. Don't worry, we need to update your software. I'm sorry, I think we cost it because we have not really updated it. We will update it because you should have the best software. Shouldn't they? Yeah, it's what we gave them they are working with. We haven't given them the best. So we're at fault. I'm now the Pharisee. So, but let me read easy to read version. I pray that God will open your minds to see his truth. Then you will know the hope that he has chosen us to have. You will know that the blessings God has promised his holy people are rich and glorious. Now, can we read it in New Living Translation? New King James Version. The eyes of your understanding being what? Enlightened, that you may know the eyes of your understanding. Jesus mentioned this thing. He that has ear to hear, let him. So does it mean they didn't have ear? He's talking of another ear. So the Holy Spirit says, there's another eye, spiritual eye, to see spiritual things. Because your human eye and human ear cannot understand it. So he said that the eyes of your understanding will be now opened, being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. All these things I'm talking, that God called, that, hey, man, Sunday evening was too much here. I don't know. You missed a lot. That service was great. The second, oh wow, it was good, man. It was, this guy set this place on fire, teaching us about salvation. That's what he was preaching. That we don't preach salvation with our heads down. That's a glorious thing. You are inviting people to come and enjoy. That's what we were preaching. Man, this place was on fire. Yeah, it was too much. We were dancing all over here. It was good. Very. The Sunday school, I didn't wish it to stop. But because of time, we had to stop it. How many of you were here? Well, am I telling lies? It was very good. The sermon was good. Being called of God. The call. Answering the call. It was very good. Very, very good. The worship was extraordinary. I'm not kidding you. It was really extraordinary. That sister can sing. You know, it was really extraordinary. The Spirit of God was present. Praise the Lord. So now that's what Paul is saying here in that verse. In that verse, he said that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? That's what we're inviting people to come and enjoy when we invite them to come and receive Jesus. There are riches to enjoy. There's glory to enjoy. It's not to remove your earring and remove. No, there's come there. Come to Christ. Then Christ will make you what you'll be like. Praise the Lord. You know, so he said he was praying for the church that their eyes will be what? Open. Now, let me show you something, an experience that Jesus had with his disciples. Before I read it, I want to tell you something. Unless God opens your eyes to this thing, nothing else will happen, make you understand. Not even miracles. Even if you touch miracle, you won't understand it. I'm not kidding you. Not even seeing dead man rise. That will open your eyes. There's an act of the Holy Spirit that opens what? There's that act of the Holy Spirit that opens the eyes of a man. If it doesn't happen, you can see 100 men raised from the dead. All you do is tell story all over the place. Hey, I was there. Did you see that? Especially the other man that was fat. Man, the way he rose, that's all you'll be telling everywhere, but you won't have faith. Lie to do. Faith. It won't come. Let me repeat it. There is this act of God that the Spirit of God does what? Opens. It's like opening a window. He has to open your eyes. Open it. If it doesn't, you won't see anything. That's why this prayer is so important. And I taught you here, I said the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit is primarily to open your eyes. Now let's see experience that Jesus had with his disciples. Luke 24, from 34. Saying, the Lord is risen indeed. 34. And had appeared to Simon. Now they're telling the disciples that the Lord is what? Risen. Has appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. You remember those people on the way to Emmaus? They are now back to town. And are telling the rest of them, he appeared, we saw him. And as the thus spake, Jesus himself stood, what? In the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted. I think I'm reading King James Version. This is affrighted. Yeah, but they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. At 8, now let's keep going. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do you doubt? Why do doubts? Brethren, listen to me. Jesus stood there. They were still full of doubt. I mean, the Lord was standing there. People told them, we saw him. Now the Lord showed up. They still don't believe. I want you to get this, you know. Why are you troubled and why do you, why? No, let's read the whys. The why. Why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your hearts? You thought that would have sorted it out? What greater miracle is that? They saw him die this year. And he didn't enter through the door. He just, all of a sudden, he was here. But they were still doubting. The next verse. Now, Jesus, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Then he said to them, do what? Handle me. I want to show you that touch and things won't give you the thing. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bone as you see I have. They still didn't believe. Let's continue. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. They still were doubting. Continue. But why they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, have you any food here? Say, let me eat food. Up until now, they still don't believe. I'm not kidding you. This is why the church is missing. We think that when miracles happen, we believe. It's not true. There is that act of the Spirit of God that opens your eyes, miracle or not. If it doesn't happen, you won't believe. If you like, see heaven open, see thunder there, you won't believe. So, we're not done. So, they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. Why is he doing this? I'm not a spirit, it's me. Okay, let's continue. And he took it and ate in their presence. Continue now. Then he said to them, these are the words. Now, listen. He started to show us what brings revelation is the word of God. I've shown you myself. You've seen me. I ate before you. You touched me. You still don't believe. Let me take you to what will open your eyes. Then he said, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. That all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Now remember what I told the women, and I think I said it here. When Jesus said, I have not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it, that all things written about me will be fulfilled. That's what he's talking about. That everything written in the law about me will be now fulfilled. And then God gave Chris a revelation that is amazing about that scripture. And then God told him, he said, that's what Jesus said. Everything written about me is fulfilled. And God told him, he said, yes, that they came to die because of the sins that we have committed under the law. So that he came to fulfill what the law said, because the law predicted that a savior will come. Right? He says, yeah. He said, under the law, the prophet said that. So I'm the one that fulfills it. I'm the one. But then, he said, everything written about me is now fulfilled. So I didn't come to destroy the law. The law talked about me. The law spoke about me. When he talk about the law, he's talking about the dispensation of the time of Moses. Do you get what I'm saying? Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then the next verse. And he, what? Listen, he couldn't open until he brought the word. He wasn't opening until he taught them. Because it is the written word that reveals the living word. He said, these are written. This is what the prophets wrote. You didn't understand it. It was written. I told you. They wrote it. They wrote about me. You still don't understand it. Now that I've referred you to what they wrote, let me open your eyes to understand what they wrote. Not to understand that I'm here. No, but to understand what they wrote. Let's read it. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend what? The scriptures. Not to comprehend that I'm the spirit. I'm here. No. The scriptures that he was teaching them. It was written. It is written about me. You didn't understand it. That's the means of revealing me to you, is through the scriptures. Miracles don't reveal him. The scriptures do. The Holy Spirit will open your eyes to understand what? The scriptures. So that Jesus, the written word, becomes the living Christ. Becomes real. But it goes via the scriptures. Do you get what I'm saying? He came. People, first of all, witnesses came and said, we saw him. They were still full of that. Then he came. They were still full of that. He said, okay, touch me. Carnal things. Carnal. Physical. You don't know him through distance. Carnal. Touch. No, no. The eyes of your understanding must be what? So he said, touch. They touched. They still didn't know him. He said, okay, let me eat. Physical. Because what he wants to show them is spiritual truth. It's not revealed in carnal things. You can't get him from carnal things. You can't get him from what you see. You get him from what your eyes see. Spiritual eyes see. That's why the Bible says, walk in the Spirit. These are spiritual truths to be revealed to your spirit. And only the Spirit, those who don't have the Holy Spirit can't even get it. So he showed them all these things. And they say how that he ate bread with them. They say how that. He said, okay, let me show you how it works. Let me take you to the scripture. Somebody shout hallelujah. Then he said, this is what is written. It is written now. I told you all of them, written. And after telling them what is written, he now opened their eyes to understand what is written. That's when faith came. That's when they say, wow, it is him. Oh, somebody praise the Lord. I say, somebody praise the Lord. That's the significance of Amos. At the breaking of bread, their eyes opened. The bread is the word of the living God. At the breaking of bread, the bread of life, their eyes open. That's why the Bible says, study to show yourself what? Approved. A good workman that needed not to be ashamed. If you don't study, if you don't seek to know him through the scriptures, you'll be emotional human being. Telling stories everywhere. A good storyteller, but an ignorant Christian. We have a lot of good storytellers. Huh? That was so much anointing. People fell down. You don't know him through that. You can't. That's why, if you want to bring people to know Christ, you bring the gospel. The word of God. You have to bring what? The gospel. And I've been saying it here. If you go to church where the word of God is not primary, take your things and get out. You won't know Jesus. And you lose. You'll be losing. You'll be carnal. You'll be a baby. You won't know nothing. Because it is through the living word that the Holy Spirit reveals the living Christ. Can I hear amen? We'll continue next time. I don't know if you got anything at all. You got something? So you take your Bible studies more seriously. And take your Bible, coming here to study more seriously. And take your personal Bible studies more seriously if you really want to know him. And that's why Jesus said that Mary has chosen the only thing that is what? Important. To sit at my feet and let me reveal myself to him. Let's pray.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.